give because he gave to us, right? We give because joyfully he gave out of his heart a gift to us that we can never repay, and he doesn't ask us to repay. Amen. I want to share with you this morning something special because I'm a daddy and I love my kids. And I love this time of year. My little girl wrote her a sermon this morning, so I'm going to share. This is from Madeline Reese. Our God is good. He loves us. We love him. He has died for our sins like it said. Our God is good. He poured out his love for us. He is God. He is so good. I know Jesus is planning a special event in all your lives. That's a little Christmas gift from my daughter, Madeline. I think she went downstairs. Well, that's good. God is awesome. I love this time of year. Do you love this time of year? I enjoy it. I love watching the kids. I love to see the excitement and the wonder and the awe within kids, especially for the unknown. You know, they don't know what's up ahead. They just know what's up ahead is really good. And I love to watch that. It's exciting for me. And I think we can, it's a good lesson for all of us in how we wait for the Lord and how we're waiting for his return. You know, the excitement, the awe, the wonder, and the joy of the unknown. And sometimes it's just too much to contain. I know my kids, there's anticipation, this eagerness, it's too much for them sometimes. A couple weeks ago, somebody left a bag of gifts on my office desk, and my kids got in there before I got in there. And by the time I got in there, all the gifts were open. It's like, all right, guys, no. So they just could not wait. It was just too exciting. They just wanted to see what was wrapped in this thing. It was just, what is so good behind this wrapping, right? And so over the next few days, you are going to be celebrating with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, that amazing moment when the anticipation and the excitement and the wonder of God came to a pinnacle as he delivered the greatest gift he could possibly give to mankind, right? And so you're going to celebrate these things, that moment when grace appeared. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about God being with us. And it says in the Bible that she shall conceive a son and she shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this God coming to earth in the form of a man is essentially the culmination of his intentions towards you and I. The culmination of God wanting to come and enter into your world. Exactly where you're at, to relate to you, to live among you, and to be with you each and every day, to live as one of you. And that was his gift. And the very first Christmas, God's gift to the world was all of himself in the fullness of man. The very first Christmas, the gift that God gave to the world was all of himself in the fullness of a man. And so as we celebrate the moment that God came to be with us, my hope and prayer is that not only would each of you have a greater awareness and increased in awareness of God's presence with you, but also that you would have an increased awareness of your presence with him in return this Christmas. The very first Christmas was the day that God came to be with us. So I say, what if this Christmas, your friends, your family, your coworkers, and your neighbors, they all recognized that not only is God with you, but that you are with him. Amen? Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to Titus chapter 2. It's a small letter that Paul writes to Titus. And just a little bit of context of this letter. It seems like when you read this letter, it's like you're eavesdropping in somebody's personal conversation. It's kind of a conversation between a seasoned apostle who's been there, done that, and he's giving instruction and wisdom to a young pastor about how to handle things in the church and how to deal with people in the church. And while Paul does not exactly paint a glamorous picture of the church in this letter, he does paint a very glamorous picture of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so that's where we're going to pick it up in verse 11. Just a little bit before verse 11, Paul was talking about the conduct that we should have in our lives and how we should be living our lives and the way that we should be living upright. And he goes, this is why we are to live upright amongst the people around us, so that people can see it, and it's so the gospel is attractive to those who see it, so that it becomes attractive, so that God and Jesus, our Savior, the message, the gospel, is attractive. This is why we live an upright life. This is why we conduct ourselves in such a manner. And he says here for the reason, in verse 11, it says this, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Right there in one sentence is the whole meaning of Christmas, isn't it? in that one sentence. For the grace of God has been revealed, and it brings salvation to all people. How many of you know this morning that your God is a God of grace? It is in His nature, it is in His character to be gracious to you. That's who He is. It's His nature and character to be gracious. It delights God's heart to gift others with the best that He has. It delights God's heart, because this is who He is. It's His nature and His character to gift you and I with the best that He has. And that is what grace is. It's really about God taking all of His goodness, everything that is good about God, and offers it to you free of charge as a gift to you and I. You see, grace is a gift in and of itself. It is a gift. It is a gift for you, and it's from God. All of God's goodness, the best that God has, the best of everything that He has, He takes it up and He offers it to you. And fortunately, this gift of grace is the very thing that every single person in this room needs to be saved. Because the grace of God is what makes salvation possible. It's not by faith, it is by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that for by grace you are saved through faith. For it is by grace through faith that you are saved. And it's not that anything that you could do to earn it. It says there that it is the gift of God. The gift. And so here he is, he's saying the gift of God, the grace of God has finally been, has arrived. It's been made visible for the first time. It has arrived. It has appeared. In a sense, God wrapped all of His goodness up, everything that is good, everything that is pure, everything that is righteous, everything that is holy, everything that is just, and He wrapped it up in human flesh, and He offered salvation to all people. Come on. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Paul goes on in verse 12, and he goes on to say, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures, and we should live in this world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. And so essentially what Paul is saying here is that having been confronted with such grace, having come face to face with this incredible gift, this unspeakable gift, this inexpressible gift of grace, it should then cause us to turn from being a people who live without God, godless living, to being a people who live with God, completely devoted to God. That if you are confronted and come face to face with this awesome gift of grace that nobody in this room can earn, it's free to you, the goodness of God, free to you. And it should compel us to turn from being a people who live without God to being a people who live with God. To being a people who live different in this world, a people who are identified as those who live with God, a people who are devoted to Him. You see, because what happens is that by living upright lives and allowing the grace of God to transform you, because that's what it does, not only does it bring salvation to you, but it does the transforming in your life as well. And so what happens is that as you live upright lives in response to this incredible gift to you, your friends, your family members, your co-workers, without realizing it, we're all demonstrating to the world that not only is God with us, but that we are with God. And we are demonstrating the value of living with God. You demonstrate it. Do you know how much value there is to living with God? How many people can testify of the value of living with God? And so that's what Paul is urging us. And in verse 10, he says that we should make God, our Savior, attractive in every way possible to the world around us. This is our calling. To make this awesome grace appear to be incredibly attractive to the world. And we do that by living upright lives for people. It's a response to this incredible grace that God has bestowed upon us. And he says the basis of it is founded upon the grace. This gift of grace that you can't earn. It's given to you. And having come face to face with this inexpressible gift offered freely to you, it should cause us, It should compel us to be a people who live with God, a people who live for God, to be a people who are always about His work in this world, to make Him your everything, living in wisdom and righteousness and full devotion to Him in a world that does not recognize how great of a gift this grace really is. This world doesn't understand, they don't recognize how great this thing called grace really is. You see, this Christmas is not just about God with us, because this amazing grace that appeared in the form of man on that very first day, the grace of God that has finally been made visible and finally revealed to us, it is our devoted response to make known that we are with Him. God with us and us with Him. Jesus came to bring justice and peace and hope, and we are here to continue that mission and bring it to all our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors and strangers alike, to show them what the loving grace of God looks like, to display it for them, to demonstrate it before them. And so I say to you that wherever you find yourself over the next few days as you celebrate this awesome day, let the grace of God be found in Christ Jesus, be made evident for all to see. So express the joy of Christ in your laughter around the table. Express the love of Christ as you spend time with family and friends that drive you crazy. Express the heart of Christ in the gift that you give to other people. Express the provision of Christ in the meals that you share. Express the light of Christ as you decorate your homes. Express the wonder of Christ in the songs that you sing. And express the hope of Christ in all that you do. God is with you. And you and I have this awesome privilege to bring Him and all of His goodness everywhere you go. Amen? Amen. Could I invite the worship team to come on up? They're going to join me up here. And in just a second, we're going to close this service by singing Joy to the World again. But as they come up, I want to draw your attention to verse 13 of this letter that Paul writes to Titus. And Paul says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we're instructed then to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this world with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God. All the while," right here it is, verse 13, "all the while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed." I love how Paul emphasizes the wonder here. You notice he's emphasizing wonder. And when I read this, I don't know about you, but I feel like a kid again. I have something to look forward to. You and I have something to look forward to. That not do we just look back on the day that He was born, right? But we look forward with an expectation and a longing and an urgent anticipation of His return. Not only do we look back, but it's something that you have something to look forward to. So don't let the joy and the anticipation dwindle when you put away the decorations this season. Let it stay alive. Let it be visible. Let people see it. And so I guess what I'm saying this morning is make room for wonder in your life. Make room for wonder. Because when you make room for wonder, what happens is that it reignites your faith, because it causes you to live with your eyes wide open to God. It takes you beyond what you can grasp in your mind theologically and says, "Oh my goodness, there's so much more and I can't wait to find out what it is." It's like a kid, if you ever remember the Christmas story where Ralphie's, his face is plastered up against the glass, his face got smushed. He's looking at that Red Ryder BB gun and you can just see the awe and the wonder in his face, like, "What's it gonna be like, man, when I get to shoot that thing and enjoy that gift forever, you know?" That's what I'm saying. Allow room for the wonder of God in your life and allow yourself to get caught up in the wonder this Christmas. Amen? Live with your eyes wide open to God. Amen. Could I ask you to stand with us this morning as we close this service once again singing Joy to the World.